Hey everyone, it's been a while since we discussed the state of the NBA. On the upcoming episode, Mike and I discuss the free agency moves after July 13th and what kind of impact they may have on the NBA landscape for the upcoming season. Later this week, we will have an interview with Twinsburg head coach Phil Schmuck, and next week we will have interview episodes along with the preview podcast for the upcoming NBA season. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hoop Heads Pod.
Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And this evening, Jason and I are going to be talking about the NBA free agency summer that was. So Jason's going to kind of run through some of the key free agent signings and acquisitions and transactions that have taken place since our last NBA pod, and we'll throw out our opinions as we start getting ready for the upcoming NBA season.
All right, so we recorded our episode on July 13th. If you want to go back and listen to that, we covered everything that happened before July 13th, including LeBron and all that stuff. So we're kind of moving past that, but we're going to start with July 14th. And one of the predictions that we made a long time ago was about Jabari Parker. Where the heck was he going to go? We didn't really know where he was going to go, but he ended up going to Chicago. And obviously he's from Chicago, right?
That's where he's from. Chicago, right.
He's from Chicago, so that was pretty cool. I don't necessarily know if that's going to move the needle for Chicago, but it's a cool story.
I still thought he was going back to Milwaukee just because it seems like that he still provided something that I think the Bucks could use. And I'm not sure, like Jason just said, I'm not sure that he moves the needle in any significant way for Chicago. And yet at the same time, he is a guy that has an intriguing skill set. He can definitely score. He doesn't necessarily fit into the modern NBA because he's not a great three-point shooter. He's not really a defender, and he's not really that much of a passer, but he can definitely score, and he's got talent.
That's a lot of things you just said. He's not really.
Well, hey, there's a reason why he was on the free agency market and why he ended up in Chicago and why he's probably going to be out of Chicago when he starts demanding, when he goes to sign his next contract. So I would anticipate that he's not going to be there long term, but you know, you never know. Maybe he turns a page and matures as a player and adds some things to his game, because he certainly has the ability to score, which no matter what you say, that's always a valuable skill in the game of basketball. So I'll be curious to see how he does.
Yeah, I agree. You know, obviously, Chicago is probably, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, I think Chicago is definitely worse than the Cavs at their current state. I don't think that Chicago is going to be any.
I don't think their young players are quite ready.
Yeah,
depends. I read something today that, you know, Zach LaVine had a great first preseason game.
He blows his knee out.
Really good. So maybe if he figures it out, I mean, that guy's a, you know, obviously an uber athlete. So if he could ever figure it out, you might have something there. But the question is, will that ever happen? And Markkanen's out. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I saw that. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. So that kind of kills their chances, obviously, earlier in the season, because he's probably, if not their best player today, he's certainly their best asset moving forward.
Yep. All right, so then apparently nothing happened on July 15th. We moved to July 16th, and this isn't really that big of a news.
No, wait, but we're not going through this day by day.
No. We're going to skip.
This is going to be a long podcast. If you're going to read off every day.
But there was a lot of stuff happening in this part of July, and then it kind of bails off.
Right. I was a little nervous there, man.
July 16th, our friend Isaiah Thomas signs with the Nuggets, which, once again, was kind of baffling to me, because I don't necessarily know. He's not going to move the needle for the Nuggets. They probably just think, you know, low risk, high reward possible, except for the fact that he's such a, he could be a cancer to that locker room. I don't necessarily know what that's going to do. And Denver might be, you know, the last 3 years, as we're recording this, we're sitting here and we've got the Lakers-Nuggets preseason game, just what Mike wants to talk about as preseason. But they were just talking about how Denver's finished ninth last year. Obviously, they lost in the last game of the season, which caused them to miss the playoffs. Ninth the year before that, and then 10th the year before that. So they're a fringe playoff team. I don't necessarily know that IT throws them into the playoffs, but It's an interesting move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you have to look at which Isaiah Thomas are you going to get. You're probably not getting last year in Boston Isaiah Thomas, and you're probably not getting first year in Cleveland Isaiah Thomas. You're probably
only year in Cleveland.
Yeah, you're probably getting something in between. But if you get, if you get the good version of Isaiah Thomas, then he's certainly somebody that is a useful NBA player that can make the Nuggets better. You're not going to win a championship if Isaiah Thomas is your best player, but if Isaiah Thomas is in your eight-man rotation, I think that's something that you can definitely build on. And the Nuggets, the key, as I see it for the Nuggets, is you got to have health. I mean, Millsap was out a lot of the year last year. If Millsap's back healthy and Jokic continues to get better, I was reading something, I think yesterday or today, just the stats that he put up in the last 20 games of the season last year as they were making their playoff push. He was averaging like 25 points a game, like 11 rebounds and almost 7 or 8 assists in that last 20 game stretch. And, there's very few guys historically who are putting up those kinds of numbers.
And so, you haven't watched any of his.
I've watched zero. I told Jason tonight, I've watched exactly, I think, 0 minutes of Nikola Jokic's basketball career other than some highlights that I see occasionally on Twitter. But let's put it this way. I'm impressed by his stats, and I like guys who can pass. So he looks like a guy that would be fun to play with. We've talked about it with several of our guests on the podcast that you can immediately tell when you play basketball with someone or when you watch him, this is a guy I want to play with, yeah, or this is a guy that I would absolutely despise being on his team. And Jokic just seems like a guy who would be a lot of fun to play with because if you're open, he's going to get you the ball.
All right, so the next day was the big day. Kawhi, Danny Green. So July 17th, Kawhi and Danny Green for DeRozan and Poeltl in 2019.
Poeltl. Come on, man.
I don't know how to say his name. 2019 protected pick of some sort. I'm not going to get into the logistics of that. I honestly think that, a lot of people said, well, Toronto's renting out Kawhi, and Toronto won this deal if they can somehow convince Kawhi to stay. That's a big if, and I think it's going to be contingent on how well they play this year. But I definitely think that Toronto got better for one season because I think Kawhi is, if he's healthy, he's still a top five player in the NBA, in my opinion. Top five all-around player. And we're not going to talk offense, defense, because he's just an all-around great player. And DeRozan, obviously, he had his, there was a game in the pro season this season that the coach didn't even put him back in the game, and he just sat the bench for the last quarter and a half, which when you're paying him that much money, I don't know. The Spurs had to get rid of him because they didn't want him, or the Kawhi didn't want to play there anymore, and there was all the doubt with his injury and stuff, and so DeRozan was probably as good of a haul as they were going to get, and so I think the Toronto definitely won the trade if they can somehow convince Kawhi to stay.
Yeah, if you look at it from Toronto's perspective, to me, there's almost no downside to the trade. Even if Kawhi walks after a year, if he plays hard and he competes this year, which you would think he'd be motivated to do contract with the contract year coming up, you wouldn't think he's going to pout or sulk his way through the season. So if he comes out and he plays hard and he competes and he's healthy and you get 95% or 100% of the Kawhi that was there in his last healthy season for the Spurs, wow, you definitely have improved that team. I'm not sure what the mental makeup is of the rest of that roster based on their postseason lack
LeBronto.
Of success. Yeah, based on their postseason lack of success over the last few years.
Well, LeBron's gone now, so I think that's a big thing.
But even if you think about their playoff history, even not losing to
Washington.
LeBron, I mean, they've struggled. They've struggled in the playoffs, and it's not, it started obviously with Lowry and DeRozan, but I find it hard to put complete trust in the rest of the roster, but they do have a new coach, and they do have Kawhi Leonard, who's a proven playoff performer. Obviously, he was a former Finals MVP. So if Kawhi is approaching the level that he's been at in the past, he makes them better. And that team with DeRozan and Lowry, I'm sorry, was not beating Boston or Philly. Or, they're not, that team wasn't getting to the finals. Wait, no matter what.
You glossed over the fact they have a new coach, but wait a second. Their old coach wins coach of the year after he gets fired, okay? And on top of that, the Raptors Twitter account tweets out, congrats, coach. After they fired him.
Well, they had to congratulate him. I mean,
but it was just so goofy.
Dwayne Casey, you stink, man. How did you win Coach of the Year? You can't really put that out on your Twitter.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, it was so awkward when they did it because they had just fired the guy. Then he wins Coach of the Year, and then they write congrats, Coach. And then the best was Detroit tweeted something along the lines of, oh, we're so glad we have the Coach of the Year in our building now or something. And they, like, retweeted or subtweeted the Raptors tweet.
I think, like, it's almost weirder, honestly. Forget about all that. To me, it's almost weirder that you can the Coach of the Year and then you hire somebody assistant. Right, you hire somebody internally who you would think, at least theoretically,
who was it they were trying to get, and then the other guy,
I have no idea.
Like, there was another coach, another big name coach that they were trying to get, but he went somewhere else, and I don't remember what it was.
Budenholzer?
Oh yeah, it was Budenholzer, because, you know, he was going to light it up in Toronto.
I don't know. I've heard good things about Nick Nurse. I mean, I've read things that, you know, people think he's well respected in the league, so that he'll do a good job. But again, it's interesting that, you know, you kind of wanted to cut ties with the old philosophy, and you would think that somebody who was on the staff of the coach who instilled the old philosophy would probably be of a similar mindset. But
he's all about the offense,
though. Yeah, but who knows? I think Toronto, let's put it this way, Toronto's imminently more interesting than they would have been had they run it back with Lowry and DeRozan, because that team's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and then from the Spurs perspective, obviously Kawhi was out the door no matter what, and
you got
DeRozan is, you know, a guy who, you know, like it or not, he scored 25 points a game. There aren't very many players in the league who are putting up those kind of numbers, and you got to figure that Popovich is going to figure out the best way.
Yeah, he's so good with doing that.
Yeah, like, he's going to figure out the best way to use him. And, you know, the Spurs are obviously different without, you know, Manu and without Tony Parker this year, and, you know, they've been out without Duncan for a couple of years, so they're going to look completely different. But you got to believe that the systems that they have in place are going to continue to allow them to win. You know, I don't know, they're going to win 40. I would guess they're going to win between 45 and 50 games if I had to put a number on it.
Yeah, probably, because it's San Antonio. July 19th, we won't spend any time on this, but Channing came back to the Cavs, which I found puzzling because I thought in the NBA you couldn't come back until after a year, but I don't know the whole logistics of that because he had been traded in that Laker trade, right?
Yeah, there's some sort of, I forget what those date and deadlines are, but anyway, obviously he can come back. Whatever the deadline was, they obviously met it.
I don't necessarily know that he has much of a role on this team. I heard that they were going to...
KG veteran.
But I also read somewhere, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, on Twitter that Ty Lue said something along the lines of that he's going to start some games and, like, rotate Tristan out and not have him start and come off the bench, which I don't know that KG veteran Channing Frye starting games is really where we want to go on the defensive end of the floor, because he's not real. I mean, he's tall, but he's not a stout defender.
It's kind of like if you want to go big but yet go small at the same time, or if you want to go small and go big at the same time.
Yeah.
Depends on how you define what Channing Frye does. Yeah. He's big in physical stature, but in the way he plays, I'd say you probably would say he's plays as a small player as opposed to a big player. Right. So again, I liked him when he was here. You know,
he's a nice guy.
He's
probably going to be more for a morale guy.
He'll bang home a few things.
Kevin Love in their love fest. So
there you go.
And then you already mentioned on July 23rd, Parker went to sign with Charlotte. So I thought that was an interesting move, because, you know, I don't know how many years Tony Parker, you know, there were talks 2 years ago that he was going to retire, and I was actually really surprised that he didn't retire, kind of go off into sunset here. But going to Charlotte, I mean, once again, Charlotte is a fringe playoff team at best, probably.
Like, well, and he's not going to start because obviously Kemba Walker is going to be the starter. To be honest, I don't know the answer to this question, but you wonder, I don't know if there's some relationship that he has with somebody on the team or front office or somebody that is on the coaching staff that maybe was part of the Spurs organization. I don't know the answer to that, but otherwise it seems kind of like an odd place for him to end up. But again, he could be a guy that just loves the game and wants to keep playing, and, you know, walk away.
We'll get to another guy in a little bit. His name's Vince Carter, but just because I want to talk about him. All right, July 24th, the day after Parker went to Charlotte. Probably, I think you were out west, right?
I was, yes.
And Kevin Love signed a contract extension, and it was completely out of left field. Like, I couldn't believe it, because we were convinced, we had been talking at camps, you and I and some other people, there was no way they were going to extend his contract or he was going to, we thought for sure. Now, obviously, this could be a long-term play where, you know, in February, March, he's locked up and we try to trade him or
could
whatever.
Make it more tradable.
But I just was, I was blown away. And, you know, he had always said that after the whole thing that he wanted to stay, but, you know, they say that, you know, Kyrie said he was going to stay here and LeBron said he was going to stay here. They say that, but when he signed that contract extension, I was blown away.
It'll be interesting to see if he can play as the centerpiece. I mean, if he can stay healthy and kind of rechannel back the quote-unquote Minnesota Kevin Love, whether that guy is still in there, whether or not when he gets utilized in a different way. Going along with this, I think this is going to be the true test of Ty Lue as a coach, and we'll find out whether or not he really has any idea what he's doing or not. You know, it was hard to tell when LeBron's coaching the team. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Love gets utilized. And if he stays healthy, again, the Cavs are no longer obviously title contenders. So the question becomes...
Don't ask Tristan Thompson a question.
No, I'm sorry. Well, he has him at least going to the finals, I guess. So, you know, let's put it this way. If Tristan can lead the Cavs to the finals this year, he deserves...
Get a statue.
Yeah, we might as well get him the MVP award right now if he drags this team to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Just a real quick... So once again, going back to the preseason, the Cavs played their first preseason game tonight. Love looked really, really good in the first half. I watched the whole first half. He scored 17 points in the game tonight, so he led the game in scoring. But... I think he looked really solid. You know, it was funny. He brought the ball off the floor three times tonight, like off of a rebound, because they've really kind of embraced this whole like run and gun thing. And I think they're going to try to do like I don't necessarily going to think they'll do the you know, Houston Rockets like shoot the ball in the first 6 seconds, but they look like they're going to really push the ball because I think they understand that the individual opportunity in half court sets isn't going to be as readily available to them with the team that they have around them. It's interesting. He brought the ball up the court three times, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he bringing up the ball? Tristan brought it up the floor once or twice. Larry Nance was bringing it up the floor. So it's interesting to see them, what's going to happen with them. So we'll see. And I think that's probably more of a discussion that we're going to have next week when we talk.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the lineups. I think they can definitely throw a lineup out there that is young and can get up and down the floor. Love's going to be the key. To me, you know, I know we'll talk about it more in the preview pod, but to me, if the Cavs are going to be successful, Love has to be healthy, and he's got to put up 23, 24, and 12 a game if they're going to be successful. And, you know, I think he's capable of doing it if he's healthy. And that'll be the key. That'll be the key over the course of the contract. That'll be key if they decide they want to trade him and what direction they're going to go as we go through the season. I still find it hard to believe that as competitive as it appears that Dan Gilbert is, that he's going to authorize a complete teardown and tankapalooza. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't. I agree. I think they're going to, and this we'll talk about next week, I think they're going to compete all season. You know, even if they get to the point where it doesn't look, the outlook is bleak, I think they're going to look at it as a building block for the next season and just kind of go with it from there.
Agreed.
All right, next day. The most interesting trade of the season, in offseason, other than Kawhi, in my opinion, was the Atlanta and Oklahoma City Thunder trading Schroeder. Schroeder, whatever his name is, the guy from Germany, for Carmelo. And the thing that's interesting to me, there's two interesting pieces here. I don't understand how him and Westbrook work together at all, because they're both ball-dominant point guards. And as much as Schroeder shouldn't be a ball-dominant point guard, I think they tried to install that into him in Atlanta last season, and that didn't seem to work. So now they're going to send him to work with Westbrook, who is definitely the most ball-dominant point guard in the NBA. That's piece one. And then piece two is just how hilarious Atlanta handled the whole thing with the... Carmelo said part of the deal was, the buyout deal was, he wanted the jersey with his last name on it. So Atlanta tweets out a picture of the Carmelo Anthony jersey, and it says something along the lines of, this was Carmelo's jersey for the one time that he was in Atlanta, like signing contracts. So he got a jersey with Anthony on it so that he can hang in his house.
Is
after
that jersey
the
available on NBA store.com?
No, only if you
Are
personalize
you sure?
it.
Have you checked?
I have not personally looked.
Well,
but
I mean, I'm not. I can honestly say I'm not that familiar with NBA store.com. can you buy previous jerseys from players that have played on other teams? So, like, could I buy a LeBron James Heat jersey if I wanted to?
Oh, probably. I would think. I mean, you can customize a jersey. Like, you can go on there and, like, put your name on the back. So, you can put whatever you want on it. Like,
but, I mean, is there a stock-issued Carmelo Anthony Atlanta Hawks jersey?
I would doubt it. You know, that's something I'll look into that next before our podcast next week.
Maybe if we can find that on NBAstore.com, we'll tweet that out. So if you want to pick up your Carmelo Anthony Hawks jersey, you'll be all set.
So then I know we're going to kind of jump ahead and we'll come back, but then obviously Carmelo goes to Houston. And you know, we talked about how This is a downgrade in my opinion, and I think in your opinion as well. You just lost Trevor Ariza. You did get Capella to re-sign with you because Capella didn't really have any takers. But I don't think that Carmelo is going to, once again, I've said this a few times, move the needle for Houston. I think if anything...
I really like that needle tonight, man.
Yeah, I definitely think...
You're enjoying the needle.
I definitely think Houston's worse this season than they are.
I agree. It's funny to say when you look at the totality of their careers, and you know Carmelo Anthony is more than likely going to be a Hall of Fame player.
Oh, he's definitely a Hall of Fame player. There's no doubt in my mind.
So you're saying that by bringing in Carmelo Anthony, a Hall of Fame player, to replace Luke Mbah-Amute and Trevor Ariza, that your team is significantly worse. But I would agree. I think it is significantly worse. And the Carmelo that exists in his own mind doesn't really exist in real life, I don't think, anymore. Yeah. And so if you could somehow get him to buy into playing a very, very specific role, then you might be able to get something out of him. But we all know that players, I mean, the guys that get to the level that Carmelo has gotten to, there's ego that goes along with that, and rightly so. But those guys have a very, very hard time transitioning from going to being the stud player on their team that can pretty much do whatever they want to, hey, Carmelo, go stand in the corner and bang home open shots when Russell Westbrook passes it to you, or this year when James Harden passes you the ball.
Or into the stands.
Or doesn't pass you the ball, as the case may be. So I don't know. It'll be that the Carmelo to Houston thing is an interesting one that I don't think it has a significant impact either way, unless Carmelo becomes a bad apple and disrupts what they're trying to do. I don't think he adds much. I also don't think he kills them.
They got two-fourths of the banana boat, though.
They do. They got to get Gabriella Union to move to Houston. I don't know, maybe she can maybe film some movies or something. I don't know. Who knows?
All right. So the only reason I have the next one there, because I don't really think it's that significant, was the ridiculousness of... So we get Sam Decker, okay, from the Clippers, and we traded him a guy named Vladimir Veremenko, who Washington drafted in 2006, and we traded his draft rights for him. I don't understand how a guy who was drafted in 2006, who's never played a minute in the NBA, his draft rights are getting traded around like they're candy.
I think the Cavs, I think they tweeted out a picture of him sitting on a couch in Latvia, eating potato chips is what he's doing. I don't understand how that works. I have no comment on that. Obviously, there must be some monetary value placed on the rights to these guys that no one's ever heard of.
He's 34 years old. He's never played a minute in the NBA, and he hasn't played professional basketball in 3 years.
Well, how old's the guy from the Clippers? Milos Teodosic, how old's that guy?
I don't know.
He's like 31, 32, right? And never played over here before.
I don't know. I just, when I saw this, so I was just doing research for this to like look at the big names, and I just looked at it, and then it said Vladimir Veremenko, and I was like, who's this? So I clicked on him, and I'm sitting here reading his bio. I mean, his numbers aren't even that good over in where he's played, so I don't understand why they probably had to work it out somehow.
Speaks well of Sam Decker. I can honestly say the same thing I said about Nikola Jokic. I have watched exactly 0 seconds of Sam Decker's NBA career. I will say I really liked him when he was at Wisconsin. He was very good in the Final Four the year that Wisconsin made it to the final game against Kentucky. Was that Anthony Davis's?
Yeah, I think so.
Championship? I think it was. Yeah. So yeah, I liked Decker then. So that means I haven't seen him play for like 7 years. So he could be in a wheelchair for all I know.
he scored tonight. So He's not in a wheelchair.
Nice.
He's not a Paul Pierce. Yeah, I'm fine. All right, sorry. All right, so the next one, speaking of Paul Pierce, Vince Carter, 41-year-old, goes to Atlanta. This is his 23rd NBA season.
And he'll still dunk on you.
He will still dunk on you. The old man can still dunk. And the funny thing that I find in this is, I mean, his numbers last year were not good. Like, and he was playing 17 minutes, which I find amazing for him, 40 years old. But in those 17 minutes, I think when I was looking, doing research, he only averaged like 5 points a game or 7 points a game, something like that. So he was playing 17 minutes, you know, 5 or 7 points a game. You know, I don't necessarily understand, you know, I think he wants to, he's that old guy living out the dream. Oh, Kuzma just got hurt. Living out the dream, like, I want to keep playing until I can't anymore. So I just can't. He's one of five players to play 20 years in the NBA. I can't tell you the other four, but.
Well, here's what's amazing to me is that you think about, he came out the same year as Antoine Jameson.
And Tracy McGrady, right? Or was Tracy McGrady?
McGrady was younger than him.
Okay.
McGrady came out after him. I don't know how many years, but him and Jameson came out of North Carolina the same year. And when Jameson was here in Cleveland, that was during LeBron's first stint. Jameson was washed when he was here, and that was probably 10 years ago now, almost. And
yeah, I think it was 2000. I believe it was 2000. It was LeBron's last year, right?
Right?
Yeah, it was LeBron's last.
So you're looking at nine or 10 years ago, and Jameson was done at that point. I mean, he was still in the league, but he was effectively finished. And now Carter, you know, has continued to go on and play, and you know, obviously he isn't nearly as effective as he was at one time. And he also, the other piece I find interesting is, you know, one of the knocks on him, you know, throughout his career has kind of been that he's
not always a team guy.
Not necessarily a team guy, but just kind of soft and not really a guy that you could count on in crunch time and all those things. And yet, that doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would profile to stick around in the league and want to be, you know, just again, want to continue playing for that many years. And I've always liked him.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
I think he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I mean, the longevity of his career alone.
I mean, Iverson's a Hall of Famer, so he's got to be a Hall. Vince Carter's got to be a Hall of Famer, right?
Well, I think Iverson probably had more of an impact as a cultural icon, you know, rightly or wrongly. I think he, you know, represented that era in the NBA probably more than just about anybody.
Yeah.
Whereas Carter, I don't think was quite as
iconic as
significant
said, yeah.
in that. Obviously, yeah. He had the dunks and, you know, dunking over Frederick Weiss, where he jumped over him, and you know, the dunk contest and putting his elbow in the, you know, in the rim and all those things. Yeah. But I don't think he never had the same playoff moments that, you know, Iverson had the year that he took the Sixers to the finals and
stepped over Ty Lue.
Stepped over Coach Ty Lue. So I think, I mean, again, I enjoyed watching Vince Carter. I think he, you know, if you played out his career multiple times, I think he could have been in his prime. I think he could have been the best player on a championship team had he had the right teammates around him the right situation. Yeah, he just, again, the guy was enormously physically gifted and, you know, just was a great scorer. So I enjoyed Vince Carter's career. I'm happy to have him stick around as long as the team will have him.
Hey, opening night. Atlanta at Cleveland. Vince Carter will get a few minutes.
How many shots is Trae Young? What's the over-under on number of shots Trae Young puts up in his first game?
I'm going to say 22.
Yeah, I would have said 20. I would have said 20. And, I think he's going to get 20.
And how many of them is he going to make?
That I have no idea. Your guess could be anywhere from 0 to, you know, 10, I would say. I don't think he's going over 50%. He strikes me as someone who's going to shoot under sub 40% from the field for at least for this season. I mean,
we're getting ahead of ourselves. That's part of our podcast. Who's going to be the rookie of the year? All right. We got two more. September 10th, Rodney Hood gives up and just signs his qualifying offer. You know, the best thing was, and once again, I know I'm talking about the preseason game today, but they interviewed him before the game today, and they said, well, why did you end up taking the qualifying offer? And his response was, oh, I'm just going to bet on myself, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's the answer that you're going to give, but the real answer is no one was going to give you money, so this is what you had to do. And
poor
I couldn't
Rodney,
believe,
no one wanted to give him money to play basketball.
What's the funniest part of it was, the guy who was interviewing him, like, I know it was packaged for the Cavs or whatever, just let that answer go. He just let it go. I'm like sitting here thinking, you know, that's not the truth. The truth is no one wanted him.
Well, here's the thing. Theoretical Rodney Hood, is a great player. Theoretical Rodney Hood has plenty of skills. He can shoot the ball. You watch his shot. It's beautiful. He's athletic. He can get to the basket. But yet, what he actually does versus what his skill set and appearance makes you think he's doing are two completely different things. Like every time he shoots, you're like, oh, that's a beautiful release. Oh, he missed. He drives in and gets to the rim, and it just, the ball just doesn't go in, or he just makes the wrong decision. And it just seems like he's a guy who forever in his career is going to leave coaches, teammates, fans scratching their head going, why isn't this guy more than what he gives
us? I agree. He did. Once again, he looked pretty good tonight, you know, in the first half. He started tonight because they sat JR. So he obviously won't be starting, I would assume. I don't, you know, we don't really know what the lineup's 100% going to look like, but I would assume that JR is going to start in when the regular season starts.
What's going to happen to JR, man, without LeBron? Does he just go off the deep end?
Listen, I was right next to him at the LeBron. I was right.
Yeah, that was not his most impressive hour.
What, on Twitter?
I'm glad he was excited for the Browns. I was excited too, but you know,
he was taking his shirt off, man. He was excited. We were also egging him on all night to take his shirt off for good luck. So,
hey,
giving into the pressure.
Hey, that's, you know, you got to show off your tattoos. Yeah.
All right.
Wait, did you see? I got to ask you this. I'm assuming you know the answer to this. Did you see that? Did Jordan Clarkson get a bunch of tattoos this summer?
Was that
legitimate?
I'll do some quick research while we talk about this last thing.
Because I saw that there was a before and after, a media day last year and then media day this year, or some photo from him last year, and it looked like he had been completely untattooed, and then in the media day photo he had a ton of tattoos. So I didn't know if that was a real internet story or a fake internet story.
I'll do some research. Right. The last thing that I found pertinent was Dwayne Wade signing his last supposed, which I would think it is his last contract with the Miami Heat, and I believe it was just a 1-year deal, correct?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's a 1-year deal, so he's going to go on the, you know, victory tour lap. I don't know how many victories he's going to have based on his team, and I don't know the player that's had a sprained ankle in March named Deion Waiters is still nursing a sprained ankle, and he looks like he's been nursing a sprained ankle and not been playing basketball very much.
Why would you want to rehab if you're Deion? Come on, you still, you know, you're going to get your shots up no matter what. Yeah, D. Wade, I mean, again, if whatever chemistry issues he had in the Cavs locker room last year, he probably would have been a useful player to the Cavs in a vacuum last year during the playoff run. So I'm happy for him to go back to Miami and finish out his career there. He's had a great career with lots of success, and you know, letting him go out with the franchise that he started with and, you know, won multiple championships with, I think it's a fitting way for Dwayne Wade to, you know, kind of finish out his career.
Clarkson got a lot of ridiculous tattoos. That is 100% real.
It is. Okay. I was curious because when I saw it, I was like, man, that went from like no tattoos to suddenly he was crazily tattooed.
He got some tattoos in mid-July. They haven't, I can't find anything that says what exactly he got tattooed on his body. Some dude on his own arm. It looks like JR. I don't think it is.
Wait,
but
he got JR Smith tattooed on his arm.
The one picture that makes it look like JR.
That would be fantastic.
Well, the tweet that I'm seeing is spends one season on roster with JR. He had no tattoos.
Right.
He's got neck tattoo.
Yeah, see, that's the same thing I saw. So yeah.
And then the best was, the last time we saw a tattoo transition happen this quick had to be about Monte Ellis, when Monte Ellis didn't have any tattoos.
Monte Ellis fell off a cliff too, as far as his playing skill. So, well, we could talk more about Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood in the Cavs preview, but I think those two guys are going to be leaving many Cavs fans beating their head against the wall trying to figure out if those guys are actually any good or not. It'll be interesting to see how the season transgresses for the two of them, because I'm not 100% sure that they're not going to make me crazy when I watch them, when I watch the Cavs play.
You're going to lose some more hair?
Yeah, well, there's not much there to lose. If I could lose it all, it'd be great. Maybe they could help me with that. I tell people all the time, I want some kind of special cream I can just put on there so it'll all just fall out. I don't have to shave it anymore.
All right, so
we're looking, well, next week we're going to get on, we're going to kind of do some predictions, talk about some different things, and we're looking forward to it, and we're going to have a special guest. First time, I think we're going to have a second time guest, if everything holds to plan. I think Trevor Huffman's going to join us, so it'll be exciting, and now that I've put this out of here, Trevor, you have to show up now.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having Trevor and make it a three-man pod, and so we're going to try to bring Trevor on for some of our NBA podcasts, just to kind of bring his perspective and share some of the things that he, that he has and that he knows about the NBA, and bring some different opinions. So that should be a lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed our episode tonight, and we will catch you on our next one. Thanks.
Head Start Basketball is excited to announce their new Player Development Academy classes. This offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate their game to the next level. All player development classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center on Monday evenings. During your child's first class, we will evaluate his or her ball handling, shooting, and agility. We will discuss your availability and schedule to ensure we have them in the right class for their development. Players will be evaluated frequently to ensure they are training in the proper class for their current skill level. For more information about this class, please visit headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.